Good morning. Ooh, that's very close to my... Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, both in person and for those of you that are joining us online. I have just a couple of announcements, one that you probably all already know, but I still struggle. I think there are some of you who may not have email, but I don't know you don't have email. But I sent out an email letting you know that masks are now optional and we can now have meals together inside at Holly Grove. So it looks like most of you know that. But if you don't have email, please tell me you don't and I can find another way to reach out to you. Today is the third Sunday of March, so we will have the basket offering. And the basket offering this month is going towards Silly. Wednesday evenings during Lent, we have our midweek worship service at 6:30, and we'd love for you to join us. John Lohr, who I just saw, John is having shoulder surgery tomorrow morning. He is on the prayer list, but continue to hold him in prayer for his surgery and the recovery. We have a couple of birthdays. Taylor Fritz, Rebecca Kepley, Whitney Lohr, and Teresa Fritz. Let us pray. And Sawyer? No, Neil, what's your...
I have an announcement.
Okay.
Men's group will meet next Monday night, not tomorrow, but the following Monday night. And we will have some sort of food meeting.
Excellent. So men's group meets not tomorrow night, but in a week. And tomorrow night is the Agape Circle. And it will be at Jordan Kepley's house. Everybody wants to see all the work that she's done. It's beautiful. So tomorrow night, 6:30 at Jordan Kepley's house. We will have snacks, not a full meal, but snacks. So eat a little something before you come. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Are there any other announcements that I'm leaving out? Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson for the third Sunday of Lent is from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that do not know that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you.
My soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you, as in dry and weary land where there is no water.
Therefore, I have gazed upon you in your holy place,
that I might behold your power and your glory.
For your steadfast love is better than life itself. So will I bless you as long as I live,
and lift up my hands to your name.
My spirit is content, as with the riches of food,
and my mouth praises you with joyfulness.
When I remember you upon my bed,
and
meditate
on you in my righteousness.
For you have been my helper, my whole being clings to you.
Your right hand holds me fast.
The second reading is from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the end of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will not all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Do you want to come, Sawyer? No? Okay. Hey, Gavin. How are you? Hi, Gracie. Hi, Ava and Calvin. And Kate and Cameron and Maddie and Sawyer. You wanna come sit right here? Thank you for all coming up here. Last week we talked about a metaphor, which is a word picture, how words can help us paint a picture in our minds. And the word picture we talked about last Sunday was how God loves us like a mama chicken loves her chicks. Well, today in the gospel, it talks about a gardener. And so I thought we could talk about what it looks like that God is a gardener, that our souls are gardened by God. And I got to thinking about another garden all the way back in Genesis when God created the Garden of Eden. And do you Do you remember what humans, how God created humans in that garden? Anybody? Cameron, I think you're going to love this because Cameron loves to play outside. God took some of the dirt and created humans with some of the dirt. In fact, the one of the first humans, his name is Adam, and Adam actually means dirt. So God created humans from the dirt. So God loves to get messy in the dirt. I think God probably has dirt under God's fingernails, and God probably has to use soap 2 or 3 times to wash his hands because there's so much dirt that one washing won't get off of it. God loves to get dirty and messy in the dirt and messiness of life with us. But one of the things that God does is that God creates all of our bodies. And you know what God thinks about our bodies? He thinks that they're good. God thinks that every body, not just everybody, but every body is good. And there are going to be times in your life when your bodies frustrate you. For example, my immune system isn't very good, and so I often get frustrated that even though lots of people are going without masks, I still wear a mask sometimes. That frustrates me, and I think, why is my immune system not so good? But you know what? God loves my body, and God calls my body good. So you might have a time when you get frustrated with your body. God still loves your body and calls it good. And so I think if God calls our bodies good, maybe we should call our bodies good too and be good to our bodies. So can you guys help me think of some things that we can be thankful for about our bodies? Maddie? Our eyes? What do our eyes help us do? Our eyes help us to see. Are you thankful for something about your body, Sawyer? Do your bodies help you to eat food so you can, so you can have strength and nourishment? Our bodies help us to play and to run. Is there anything else anybody's thankful for about their bodies? Well, maybe we can say a prayer thanking God for all the good things that our bodies do for us and that our bodies are just good in general. Should we pray? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for each other.
Thank you for our bodies.
Help us to always remember that you think our bodies are good. Help us to think our bodies are good too. To think our bodies are good too. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up, everybody. The same goes for us too. In fact, I was thinking about many of us as I was thinking of that. How often do we have less than love for our bodies, especially as we get older and our bodies don't do the things that they used to do or the things that we want them to. But still, God loves your bodies. And if God loves our bodies, then I think that we should too. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two things that you may or may not know about me. One, I really love organizing, cleaning, tidying up. I really, really love it. So much so that I sometimes hide it from people because I think I'll get made fun of or whatever. And two, I really enjoy binge-watching shows on Netflix. Binge-watching is when there's a show available and you watch several episodes at a time. And it's possible on things like Netflix because there aren't commercials in between, So you've got 5 seconds to choose whether or not you'll keep watching or whether or not you'll stop watching. And, well, it's 5 seconds, it's already started. I may as well keep watching the next episode. So you can imagine my excitement when I recently discovered a show on Netflix called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Have any of you seen this show? She's the best-selling author of The Life-Changing Power of Tidying Up. Her tidying is done by category. You survey all your belongings. So clothing, for example, you don't go drawer by drawer. You get all of your clothing out and you put it all where you can see it at the same time. I think this serves one purpose. When you see how much you have, you think, oh my goodness, I need to let go of some stuff. But her tidying is done by category. So you put all your clothing, for example, all over the bed. And then you go article of clothing by article of clothing, or whatever you're tidying, and you look at it, and you actually hold it in your hands. And you think about whether or not this something brings you joy. And if it does, you keep it. If it doesn't, you let it go. You only keep what sparks joy in you. So if something doesn't spark joy, even though it might be hard to let it go, you let it go. Because it's about choosing joy. It's about letting go of things that don't bring you joy to make room for more joy. So that our homes aren't weighed down by the clutter that doesn't bring joy. As I read and studied the passages for this week, it reminded me a lot about Marie's premise of joy and what brings us true joy. It also reminded me about what we are called to do in Lent, the work of tidying and decluttering our hearts. Listen to these words again from Isaiah 55. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy? We constantly fill our hearts with things other than God, and our hearts are so cluttered with things that don't satisfy us that there's actually very little room for God to dwell within us. But every year we are given these 6 weeks of Lent, this space in time that calls us to stop what we're doing, no matter how important it is, and enter more intentionally into the disciplines of prayer and self-examination and repentance. These 6 weeks are set apart for the purpose of drawing closer to God and seeking God with greater intensity. It's a time for creating more inner and more outer space for attending to our relationship with God. If you remember a couple Sundays ago, the first Sunday in Lent, the gospel lesson was Jesus' temptation in the desert for 40 days. It was there that he faced temptations to trust things that are not God for security and survival, to trust things that are not God for affirmation and approval. And if we had to group together the things that clutter up our hearts and minds, I think the bulk of them would fall under those categories. We are so often tempted to trust that which is not God for security and safety, approval, and affirmation, not just during the 40 days of Lent, but our whole lives. There are a lot of things that distract us within us from really looking at the work that we need to do. Because the reality of our brokenness is that we do choose things other than God to satisfy us. And
like the fig tree in today's parable, we all have many things in us and in our lives that keep us from bearing fruit. In more ways than one, we are like the fig tree in the parable that Jesus tells. We are alive, but are we bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit, or are we simply existing? It's a harsh parable. In fact, several of the lessons this morning were harsh, and hearing them read out loud made them a little bit harder to hear. But in this parable, the landowner has given 3 years for this fig tree to grow and bear fruit. And that's actually a very realistic and logical thing for this landowner to do. 3 years is more than enough time for this fig tree to be established and to begin bearing fruit. But it isn't, so the landowner tells the gardener, cut it down. It's occupying space that something else could be, that could be bearing fruit. So get rid of it. Put something there that will bear fruit. It's not unreasonable, and it's not unrealistic. It actually makes perfect sense. And I think this is true of us, right? There are a lot of things in us that are not bearing fruit. And in this season of self-examination, when we're called to look at that and name and acknowledge that which isn't bearing fruit in us, and then repent, meaning do the work of doing different, there's a lot that probably needs to be cut down and pruned out within us. But hear this response. In this parable, and in our lives, there is a good gardener who is incredibly patient. God is the gardener of our souls, and is so much more patient with us than we truly deserve. God continues to attend to us over and over again when we aren't bearing fruit. God looks at us and maybe spreads out our roots a little bit more, rakes around us and gets some of the debris away and puts manure and fertilizer gently around us, tenderly attending to us so that fruit might grow. God gets God's hands dirty because God is the gardener that has hope that good will come if the right care is given. So here we are, halfway through Lent. It's the third out of 6 Sundays in this season. And if we were to sit down for coffee, I'd ask you about your Lenten journey so far. I'd ask you how God has been with you in your disciplines of prayer and self-examination and repentance. I'd ask you how it's going in your heart, where you're working to clear out space and get rid of some of the clutter. Are you tidying up just the obvious things, like the clutter on a table or the clutter in the middle of the floor? Or are you going further back into those closets that are tucked away, into the box that's on that shelf in the closet, that's the one that's out of sight and out of mind? I'd ask you, what are the things that you are needing forgiveness from God for? I'd ask you, what are the things that are keeping you from bearing fruit? And then maybe we'd talk about how we invite God into those spaces and let God attend and tenderly care for you in those places. Because the truth is that in the shadow of Christ's cross and resurrection, we are assured that God forgives and cleanses all who turn to God. In Christ, there is power to pass from death into life in the places where we ourselves are needing resurrection. Brothers and sisters, Lent is a gift. It's a gift of time to sort out our hearts and our lives. It's a time to be honest with God, to let God search and know our hearts. It's not easy work, but it is good and faithful and important work. And it is the work of a lifetime, not just of a season, to intentionally attend to our relationship with God. And as serious as Lent is, it's also a time of great hope, because we experience God's steadfast love and grace and patience in the midst of whatever sin and whatever brokenness we acknowledge. God is a good, good gardener. God is deeply patient with us, and God tenderly cares for us, because God is the gardener that has hope that good will come if the right care is given. Amen.
We believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at
the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn close to the heart of God, we offer these prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church around the world in all its forms, for pastors, deacons, bishops, chaplains, and mission developers, for church councils, committee chairs, and all lay leaders, for congregations that contemplate difficult decisions about the future of their ministry. Lord, in your mercy, for the health of this planet and the well-being of its creatures, for lands impacted by droughts and at risk of wildfires, for fig trees and vineyards that produce fruit for our nourishment and delight, for animal habitats that are threatened by climate change. Lord, in your mercy, for those called into positions of civic responsibility, for judges, attorneys, and court administrators tasked with uncovering truth and delivering justice, for activists and community leaders who cast a vision of a more compassionate and equitable society. Lord, in your mercy, for those who call upon you for mercy, for all who live in poverty and experience hunger, for any who feel tested beyond their strength, for those who are hospitalized or near death, and for all in need of healing, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, John, Mike, Latifa, Bob, Sandra, Jana, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the efforts of this congregation, for those whose faith leads them to speak difficult truths and engage in difficult conversations, for those who work for mercy and justice and peace, Lord, in your mercy, for those whose earthly journeys have ended, we give thanks. With all the saints, we praise you for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
accept the prayers we bring, O God, on behalf of a world in need, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share God's peace with those around you through handshake, through hug, in whatever way your heart is calling you to do. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord
our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry.
our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is food and drink for the journey. Come and be filled.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
The mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.